This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. It was a week where coronavirus overwhelmed almost all other news. We start our coverage with an excerpt of Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb's address on Monday, establishing a statewide stay-at-home order for at least 2 weeks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we owe it to our private sector, the ones who risk their capital and put in endless work days and nights, who were, quite frankly, taken for granted during all those good times when our economy was booming just a couple weeks ago. We owe it to them to get through this as fast as we can. It was for that reason that last week I directed that for restaurants and bars to remain open, they must pivot to carry out only. Yet a week later, we know that's not being followed by all. And we know it only takes one bad apple to spoil the bushel. We know one infected person infects two, and those two infect two more, and so on and so on. Today, I signed an executive order that instructs the ATC to suspend any and all food and beverage licenses for those who violate the order. Additionally, I've signed another executive order that calls on all Hoosiers to hunker down. Stay at home. Unless you're going out on an essential errand or essential work or essential business. Other states have recently come out with similar directives. Ohio has stay at home. Kentucky yesterday evening rolled one out. Illinois a few days before then. It's because we're all seeing the same trends or waves coming, especially in the dense areas, but it is spreading to all counties. So stay home. Get groceries only when you need them and only buy what you need. I'm telling you, the next 2 weeks are critical. That's March 24th through April 7th if we're going to slow the spread. And we must slow the spread. My fellow Hoosiers, the state of our state is in a much different place than when I gave that annual address just over 2 months ago, back in January. But because we were one of the most recession-resilient states in America going into this, I know we'll bounce back better than some others. We'll continue to work with our federal partners at FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers, the CDC, HHS, the President and the Vice President, and our own congressional delegation on both sides of the aisle to get the financial help to the people in need and get it here now. A year ago last week, we here in Indiana had 3,100 Hoosiers file for unemployment benefits. Fast forward exactly a year later, last week, we had 54,000 Hoosiers file for help. That's only in a week. And so, whether you're an employee or an employer, whether you're dealing with mental, physical, or financial health issues, whether you're a small town or a big city, the state of Indiana will work with our federal partners as we steer through the rocky, shallow waters ahead.
Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer issued similar orders that same day, Monday.
COVID-19 is a global pandemic. It's a novel virus. There is no cure. There is no vaccine. The only tool that we have to fight it at the moment and to support our healthcare system to respond is to give them the opportunity by buying some time. And let me tell you why that's so important. We have roughly 10 million people in our state. There is a model that anticipates that if we stay on our current trajectory, just like Italy, over 70% of our people could get infected with COVID-19. Of that 7 million people projected, about 1 million of them would need to be hospitalized. We have about 25,000 acute care beds in Michigan. Think about that. So stopping the spread of this virus is really the most important tool that we have right now to keep our communities safe. That means without aggressive additional measures, more people will get sick, more people will die, and our economy will suffer longer. Without additional aggressive measures, soon our hospitals will be overwhelmed. And we currently don't even have enough beds, masks, gowns, and ventilators. But if we all do our part and simply stay home, we have a shot at helping our healthcare system meet our needs. Because this disease can't spread person to person if we're not out there. So if we work together and we take this seriously, we can slow the spread of COVID-19. But right now, too many people are still out and about unnecessarily. So we must do more. Now is the most crucial time for us to come together to protect ourselves and our families. We must work together to bend the curve. We must do more to curtail community spread so our health system has a fighting chance. Today, I'm issuing a stay home, stay safe executive order for all Michiganders for at least the next 3 weeks. The goal here is simple: stay home, stay safe, save lives. This will be temporary. This intervention is important to buy time so we can create surge capacity in our hospitals, so we can ramp up testing and develop therapeutic drugs that may lower hospitalization and fatality rates. Please know that even with today's action, the number of cases will go up yet today, tomorrow, in the days ahead. It will take some time for us to impact this.
That's Governor Gretchen Whitmer issuing Michigan's stay-at-home order on Monday. St. Joseph County Health Officer Mark Fox visited WSBT 22's First in the Morning this week to talk about how to stay safe as we hunker down in our social isolation.
Dr. Mark Fox, St. Joseph County Health Department, thanks for being with us today. I want to get an update on where we stand locally. I wanted to ask you, though, sun in 57 degrees, it's going to be awfully tempting for parents to send the kids outside and sometimes play together. What do you tell parents who want their children to play with maybe some of the other neighborhood kids? Is it safe outside? Should you not do it at all? What's your advice?
Yeah, I think it's great to be outside. Being out in open air is much better than being in enclosed spaces. I think it's what you do outside. So if you can ride bikes, hopefully you're maintaining social distancing that way, playing keep away or something. So rather than wrestling or being close in face-to-face contact, if you're on swing side by side or running across the field, those are great activities.
Yeah, so just don't play tag.
Right.
Play other things outside. It's okay for the kids to go outside and play with some of their friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ben, if you're going to do it outside better than inside.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about social distancing in general. Based upon what you have seen in our community, people going to the grocery stores for takeout, et cetera, are we doing enough?
You know, I think we really are doing reasonably well. There are certain essential functions that people still have to go to the grocery store. People still are going to work and have to put gas in their car. So there are things that have groups of people together or especially have access to high touch surfaces. So I think about the refrigerated case of the grocery store. You know, the stores by and large have taken the self-serve items away, which helps, but everyone is still going to the milk cooler. And so that surface is something that people need to be aware of, that stores should be cleaning, and I think by and large they are. But also as people grab it, they ought to think about, you know, do they have a paper towel they can use, or even taking their sleeve would provide some barrier.
I've seen people wear gloves. Does that help? Or once you put it on that glove and then it sticks to that glove and you put it somewhere else?
You still
can protect you, but not the next person.
Right, yeah. But it will decrease the transmission to some extent. But especially a disposable barrier like a paper towel or napkin or something that then you can get rid of. But there are certain surfaces that people are going to touch frequently.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you the big question on this. When do you think, based upon our social distancing, we're going to start to see a peak and maybe we start to see some evidence of the curve being flattened, or is that just wishful thinking?
I don't think it's wishful thinking, but I do think that it likely will take longer than anyone hopes or expects. My kids are about a week into e-learning and are climbing the walls. So, some of the modeling that we've seen suggests that it really will push out the the worst activity in our community by 6 or 8 weeks, but we still will see an increase in that activity. The challenge is the complacency. So people will get tired of social distancing, and if they slack off, then that's going to change those curves as we get into April, for instance.
So when you say 6 to 8 weeks, you're talking about for this community from the start of when we started social distancing, or 6 to 8 weeks from today?
This was 6 to 8 weeks from last Thursday, I think, when we were looking at the most recent.
And this is our community.
This is the best projection we can make for our community.
Yeah. Do you anticipate that restaurants and the other shops and the schools are going to have to be closed for that stretch of time?
So the schools being closed to May 1st, I think, reflect some of this kind of modeling. I would plan on entertainment venues and restaurants and things likely being closed certainly into May, okay, and possibly beyond.
All right.
That's so the best guess.
Yeah, understood. I know this is very much in flux. Remind us once again, what's the, quote, best way, if you want to say the word best in catching this, but the best way to catch the virus? It's not just by being in the same room with another person who happens to be breathing the same air, correct?
No. It's really primarily spread through droplets. And so if I cough or sneeze, especially in your face, so if we're within 6 feet, but especially if there's, if we're arguing and spitting at each other, that would increase the risk. If I cough on this surface and then you wipe it and touch your face, then that's going to increase the likelihood as well. That's why, wiping surfaces frequently and washing your hands frequently, and especially for people that wear glasses, trying to, try to adjust your glasses this way to avoid your eyes, sure, and nose and mouth.
And very quickly, last question. It's not really a question, it's a reminder. Remind people when they should get tested.
Symptoms. So we're really focused on people with fever, so a temperature of 100.4 degrees and higher, cough, shortness of breath are really the big thing. The other thing we're hearing is a lot of people complaining of kind of general malaise and some body aches, which again looks very much like influenza.
Okay.
So it can still be very hard to distinguish.
And remember to call ahead. Do not just show up unannounced at a doctor's office or hospital for testing. St. Joseph County Health Officer Mark Fox on WSBT 22's First in the Morning. More than 160,000 workers in Michigan and Indiana filed for unemployment last week, amid over 3.3 million nationwide. More are expected as non-essential workers are asked to stay home and stop the spread of the coronavirus. Benefits in both states are now expanded to help people who are affected, to workers who are sick, quarantined, or immunocompromised. They also now extend to workers caring for loved ones, and you can apply from home online.
As governors from both states are ordering non-essential businesses to close and people to stay home, some people are wondering how they will provide for their families. But if your employer laid you off due to concerns about coronavirus, you're encouraged to apply for unemployment.
Most people are reporting to us, maybe 15, 20 minutes if they're really familiar with sort of online forms and processes.
Josh Richardson with the Indiana Department of Workforce Development says if you've been working pretty solidly over the past 18 months, you shouldn't be concerned about your eligibility. And even if you're not sure,
don't make your own eligibility determination and not file if it's a close call.
When you log on, have your social security number and driver's license or state-issued ID. Also be prepared to answer questions about your employment history and your most recent job. Even if you have secured a new temporary job that doesn't pay as much as your old full-time job, you could still get some unemployment money.
It's almost always advantageous for a person to work if they can work. That generally works out positively for them. The very first question we ask each week is, did you work during the week? If they answer yes, then they report their earnings. And that's where we then have to deduct those earnings from their benefit amount.
Richardson suggests filing as soon as you can.
There's really not much of a downside to opening that claim as soon as you reasonably believe that you're going to be out of work.
If you are eligible, Richardson expects you to receive your benefits in 21 days after filing in Indiana. It is important to note, if you decide to stay at home with no directive from your doctor or employer, you will not be eligible for unemployment in most cases.
That's WSBT 22's Caroline Torrey reporting.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.